Thanks for joining us, Carol.
Good morning. Great to be here.
Now, it appears that medical apps are becoming a lot more popular than even potentially going to the GP. Is there a risk that the GP might be surpassed as people become over-reliant on apps?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. Look, I guess it depends on the health condition that you're thinking about. You know, there's really a health app for almost every health condition that you could think of. And a lot of them are health conditions that you probably wouldn't actually generally go to the GP for. If, for example, there are lots of apps that help you, you know, get more physical activity, or that, you know, aim to help you get a better quality sleep. And, you know, most people wouldn't be even thinking about going to a GP for those types of conditions. But on the other hand, you know, there are also apps for, you know, quite serious medical conditions, you know, such as melanoma, or, you know, that claim to measure blood pressure. And obviously those types of conditions, you know, really should be managed by a GP, not just something that you manage using your phone.
Now, I guess it's an umbrella question to ask, but by and large, across the board, how reliable and effective do health apps seem to be?
Yeah, okay. Look, it is hard to answer that because, you know, the accuracy and the usefulness of them just varies hugely from app to app. You know, there are now thousands of health apps. The vast majority of them have never been evaluated. You know, but on the other hand, there are some apps that have been, you know, very rigorously developed and evaluated by, you know, doctors and other health professionals and, you know, medical researchers. So, you know, look, they can go the full range from apps that, you know, you wouldn't want to go anywhere near to apps that, you know, if they say endorsed by, you know, reputable association or, you know, have been put out by a government department, I think, you know, you have to, you know, exercise your judgment and kind of look at, you know, the credentials of the people behind these apps.
Now, as well as sort of general health apps, there has been, in the recent years, a proliferation of mental health apps as well. Now, a lot of positives, they've broken down a lot of stigma and taboo associated with mental health phenomena, and have also given assistance to people in areas who might not have had access to a psychologist. But again, in looking at mental health apps, have we seen any tangible results?
Okay. To be honest, I'm not completely familiar with all the research in mental health. My background is as a physiotherapist. So, you know, certainly there's been a lot of apps in the well-being space, you know, mindfulness and reducing stress. And my understanding, you know, generally is that those apps, you know, tend to use behaviour change techniques that do work, you know, especially if they use cognitive behavioural therapy. You know, that's an approach that's very popular for handling a lot of mental health issues, and it has a lot of evidence that it does work for people. But look, I couldn't, you know, name particular ones in the mental health field that, you know, I would trust. Sorry.
No, that's quite all right. If you've just tuned into The Daily this morning, we're speaking right now with Associate Professor Carol Maher from the University of South Australia about the new rising trend of health apps. Now, turning to skincare, as you mentioned before, with apps that look for melanoma, now a 2014 analysis found that the effectiveness of melanoma detecting mobile apps was pretty decent, detecting skin cancer at about a 73% success rate compared to dermatologists at 88%. How is it that these apps work and are effective?
Yeah, well, look, first of all, just because the numbers are pretty good, I wouldn't like to say that you should use a melanoma app in terms of diagnosing whether, you know, a suspect spot is melanoma or not. You know, that is something that people should definitely see a professional for. But having said that, there are melanoma apps that, for one thing, you can use them to track changes in the appearance of a spot over time. And so then that, you know, is quite useful. You can take it with you to show your doctor how the appearance has been changing. So those kind of apps are great. And then in terms of the app that you were talking about, where it actually, you know, does attempt to diagnose melanoma, and the accuracy is really not bad. Basically, the app uses your camera, and then they have algorithms that they use to, you know, analyze the appearance of the spot. You know, just like a doctor does in their professional judgment, you know, they look for particular things about the shape and the colour and so on. So, you know, clever programmers, you know, are working on algorithms to do the same thing. But look, when it comes to something as serious as a melanoma, you've got to see a doctor.
With a lot of this stuff, I mean, down the line, at the moment we're looking at currently, you know, artificial intelligence technology, which has access to infinite medical databases, things like that. Do you think potentially down the line that things like apps on your phones could become more effective than going and seeing a dermatologist, which has an 88% success rate, up to, you know, close to 100%, do you think?
It's an interesting point. They're actually using artificial intelligence technology now to inform doctors when that comes to deciding on treatment for cancer. So they've actually got a system where developed by IBM, where it you know, the computers are scanning all of the new medical studies that have been coming out in the literature. And compiling, you know, up to the very minute, you know, exactly what dosage in what patient group and what particular cancer type and so on. So basically now they're encouraging specialists to use that so that they are kind of tailoring the, you know, cancer treatments to each individual person using, you know, all of the available up-to-the-minute evidence. So I think there are a lot of exciting possibilities with artificial intelligence, for sure.
Well, I suppose outside of just specifically looking at things like melanoma, down the line, what sort of health apps are starting to emerge at the moment and are taking a hold of the health app market that we could be seeing, you know, a big prominence of in the future years?
Sure. Look, I'm personally really interested in using gamification to help people change their behaviour in a positive way. So, you know, gamification is taking the kind of approach that video games use, that we know helps bring people back to the video game and make the video game, you know, enjoyable to use. And we use those same techniques, but outside of a gaming situation. So, you know, I guess in the simplest form, you could say something like frequent flyer points or reward points for doing your grocery shopping at a particular supermarket is a form of gamification. So I'm really keen on how we can incorporate that kind of, you know, fun gaming approach to help people take on new health behaviours like physical activity or healthy eating patterns and helping people stick with it, because, you know, it's one thing for people to think, I want to turn over a new leaf and, you know, start being more active. But the problem is so many people fall off the wagon within a few months. So, you know, if we can use these techniques that, you know, make a program kind of more fun and engaging over a sustained period of time, then we should be able to help people actually improve their health.
Gamification. Well, it's a positive thing. And I think deep down at heart, all adults do enjoy a good game. Carol, thanks so much for joining me this morning and unpacking all of the stuff that is going on with health apps in the world at the moment.
It's a pleasure. Thanks for having me.